What's up, Fanatics? It's a special edition of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. I'm happy to be in Adam Gray's basement. This is Jared Stansberry, joined by Rob Gray and Adam Gray. How's it going, guys? It's Rob Gray's birthday. I'm sorry, I got to say that first.
Happy, big 3-0?
Something like that.
Something. There you go.
I have kind of a historic birth date. I was born months before the Summer of Love. 1969, so not the big 3-0.
Yeah. We'll round down.
March 18th, 1969, Mary Greeley Hospital.
Really?
There you go.
Nice. Well, happy birthday, man.
I appreciate it.
You got big plans? Any weekend plans? Wife taking you anywhere?
Just going to do a basic, I think, dinner.
Yeah?
With wife and kids and my parents.
Okay.
In Ames on Sunday. We got some spring football stuff next week to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice.
We got basketball to talk now. It's a good time. It's a good time to have a birthday.
Iowa State's got to sandwich two wins in between your birthday. How about that? That's pretty nice of them.
Yeah, they got one, the day before, and now they're going to take down Little Rock the day after.
Amen.
Our special podcast is brought to you by A+ Lawn and Landscape. They're also going to be sponsoring all of our spring football coverage here over the next couple weeks. That's going to start ramping up with me and Rob. I don't know how much Chris is going to do with football. There should be a lot of basketball stuff.
Yeah. As long as basketball keeps rolling, it's probably us down there.
Yeah. So, what were your guys' impressions of the game yesterday?
I was happy with how they played. There's a couple times, obviously, they had some lulls. But, I mean, I watched every game. Every team has a little bit of lulls. But what a lot of teams struggle to do is when the momentum starts, going to another side, being able to hit a big shot to stop the momentum. And Iowa State did that multiple times, whether it be Monte or Matt or something. Iowa State always answered. So I thought it was good. I mean, they did what they needed to do. They got a win, a pretty convincing win. And now they got a pretty good draw again going into the next game.
They got that Scott Drew run to the Sweet 16.
I'm hoping. Well, you need Virginia to lose now, too.
Yeah. Well, that'd be something if Butler was able to beat them. And then you've got – what if who's on the bottom? Gonzaga is going to beat Michigan State. Actually, I don't know if I would like that matchup very much.
Yeah, Sabonis.
Sabonis is a dude.
He's a good player.
Yeah. What did you guys think of Wichita last night coming out?
Blew up my bracket. Happy birthday to me. I thought Arizona – I liked Arizona throughout the season. They had some bad points, but they had some good wins. And Sean Miller coach teams usually do well in the tournament. And, man, were they terrible. I mean, the function of Wichita being really good, too. Yeah. I mean, you have the likes of Van Vliet and Baker. I mean, and a lot of great players for Wichita. I guess I should have seen it coming. And sometimes that momentum teams get from the play-in game, too, seems to translate pretty well. I wanted to give my 2 cents on the Cyclones, too, though. Can they blow out a team ever? I mean, look. I was thinking sweat time until AJ English gets that tee, which seemed somewhat iffy. 7-point game. They're letting them back in. A couple bad possessions, a couple bad trips to the defensive end, and there they are right there. They're clearly a better team than Iona. I mean, it's not even close. And boy, it was starting to look a little bit perilous there.
So my thought process on it is part of it was it seemed like he wanted to kind of save the team a little bit, obviously, right? You're up in the altitude. You're going to have a game in 2 games. Hey, let's slow it down. Let's keep our legs, save the game. So I understand it from that aspect. But, man, if we would have just kept running at him and attacking him, we would have scored 100, 110 points in that game, and we would have won by 25. I really think we would have. But we slowed it down the last about 7 minutes of that game, and that's when Iona just kind of hung around.
Stuck on 76 for a long time.
Ended up being fine, but as an Iowa State fan, you're right, when it got to 7 points – there's not any Iowa State fan that wasn't sweating at that point, especially if they had the point spread.
Steve Lapis was big on
– You love Steve.
No, Steve Lapis is the freaking worst. Oh, my Lord.
Was he the announcer?
Yeah, he was just blatantly saying things that were wrong. Time after time after time, he just would say wrong things. And I can't imagine no one was correct.
The later games, it was even better where he'd be like – oh, they don't need a three here. They can go for a two.
They
can
like
go for I understand why they went for a two. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense now. Yeah, I see it.
Yeah, there's 7 seconds to go in the Little Rock game. He's like, they should go for a two here. They don't need a three. What are you talking about? Yeah, they need a three. Oh, yeah.
Well, he was the – like, he kept pounding on the – they've got to attack. They've got to attack. And they kept saying that about Little Rock. He's yeah. like, they got to attack that – that the defense. That's when they're getting their good shots. There's no reason to pass it around the whole game, which that's what they do. I don't know why he's, like, telling them to go away from
what they are.
Right.
Yeah.
Good now, old Steve.
It – you know – if Iowa State can get that kind of consistency, because let's be honest, for the last month or so, when George Niang wasn't scoring for Iowa State or offense, when he was out with two fouls, the offense struggled. Mm. In the first half yesterday, though, Iowa State's offense was great, despite the fact that George couldn't throw it in the ocean and missing a lot of shots that George makes in his. I mean, he normally never misses some of the shots he missed in the game in the first half. So I felt great going in the second half just from that set. There's no way George is going 3-for-12 again. And even if he was, we showed that we could score enough to be fine. And that's what's good to see, because the other guys had not necessarily been stepping up the last month of the season. And it was pretty much, if George was going, we were great. And if George wasn't going, we struggled.
Monte having that type of game, 20 points, 8 assists, two turnovers, and one was a BS turnover, that one on the baseline where they said it was off him or something. What a terrific game for him. That terrific is becoming a big part of my lexicon since Steve Prohm likes it so much. That was him playing like that is why Iowa State fans should F up, because George is going to get his.
Yeah.
But Abdel Nader playing as well as he did. And Matt Thomas is more of a mainstay now. It's sort of an afterthought that Matt Thomas is going to have a good game. Abdel Nader is hot and cold still, even though he's been more hot than cold. It hasn't been one game on, one game off. It's been more like two or three games on, one game off. But the big threes he hit, and Matt hit big threes, and Monte with some – clutch, long twos, kind of his bread and butter. I mean, so many big shots hit at times in that first half and early second half before George really got rolling and sort of took everything over.
Well, when you hit those threes early, too, it really forced that defense to come out on you. And then that's when you saw Nader start going and taking it to the rim. And is my dog bothering you over there, Jared?
No, I'm petting him.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, I stopped petting him, and then he put his head right up underneath my leg. He did not like that.
No, he wants you to pet him. Once you pet him, you can't stop.
Yeah.
No.
He's a nice dog. What's his name?
Brett.
What's up, Brett?
After Brett Favre, the greatest quarterback ever to live.
Oh, my goodness. And then you've got a Vikings
team. Do you have
right
your
there.
Copper Fit stuff?
Man cave, buddy.
Do you have your Copper Fit stuff and your micro shave?
No, I don't.
You wear Wranglers, don't you?
I know I should, though. If I was as much of a man as Brett, I would. But, no, I'm wearing, I don't even know what jeans I wear. Whatever my wife buys me is what I wear.
Looking good.
I feel good. I feel good. Thanks.
Wranglers. I think you would not. I don't know. Nobody should wear Wranglers. Brett Favre's the only one that can pull them off, probably.
You're probably right on that. Well, I mean, if you're the outdoorsy and you don't mind getting them dirty, those Wranglers are probably good.
You wear
good.
Wranglers, Rob?
I'm outdoorsy, but I don't do Wranglers. I do more of a.
They've got the U-fit.
I do more technical gear.
More technical gear?
You know, like, a good nylon zip-off pants, the type of stuff that
the rip-off,
the zip-off, the ones that come off like in the shorts.
Yeah,
you do. Wow.
When you're out in the backcountry, and it gets warm, you zip those off. It's nice. And then when the bugs come out, you zip them back on. You're set.
You could tell he is older than us. I love it,
dude. Anybody who actually hikes or backpacks will have a pair of convertible pants.
You're 100% right. My cousin has the same stuff.
I don't think that I would wear convertible pants.
You know what though? You have no room to talk. I've seen some of the shoes that you've worn in your day. All right,
they're shoes. That's completely different.
No, just awful shoes.
Sometimes you need your gear to just be functional.
Functional. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's good.
Flower shoes are functional.
Functional if you want to get your ass kicked.
Well, they keep my feet from being wet. They keep my feet from being cold. I don't know.
Any shoes can probably serve in that regard. So what do you guys think about Arkansas Little Rock? I mean, I think that was probably the best case situation for Iowa State. Not only does Little Rock win the game, but they do it in two overtimes.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's as big of a deal as probably people make it out to be, just because it is the NCAA tournament. You're going to be running on adrenaline. I think they'll be fine, but it doesn't hurt.
Well, and the other thing that I think bodes well for Iowa State is when you saw Little Rock make their run near the end of the game, they were starting to press. They were starting to put they're bringing more pressure out on them on defense, and that's just not the way they play.
Mm-hmm.
They want to pack it in. They want all five of their defenders inside the three-point line, and then they want, on offense, they want to pass it around until there's – 5 seconds on the shot clock, and they'll see what they can do.
I know.
And, you know, they're at the end of the game, they were trying to speed up, and then they were trying to speed Purdue up, and that's how they were forcing turnovers. And even though they're such a good defensive team, their defense isn't made to force turnovers.
No.
It's just made to make you take tough shots.
And the turnover, if they try to force Iowa State into turnovers, they're not going to be able to have the success they did against Purdue, because right. Iowa State's got much better guards. Purdue's guards are pretty terrible.
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't even have a point guard.
Yeah. I mean, they got some guys who can shoot it, but, yeah, they didn't have guys that could break that pressure. I think that's a great point by Jared, that they got out of who they are mm-hmm. in order to win that game. And I also like the two overtimes. Look, the altitude stuff was overblown. I like, you know, I went at the idea that, oh, it's going to be tough on Iowa State. Well, Iona's basically right at sea level, so they had more of a, like, 1,000-foot more climb.
What was it, like 97?
85 or yeah. something. It's somewhere in that range, you know, because I'm sure it differs a little bit of whatever street you're on in New Rochelle. But, you know, it impacts you, I mean, to some degree. So you throw in those two overtimes. You don't necessarily feel it because you are on adrenaline. They'll probably come out high on adrenaline.
Yep.
But – whether it depleted them that little bit in their reserves, you know, if it gets tough. I mean, and then you don't have to deal with Purdue's bigs, which is the only concern I had with Purdue.
I wasn't even impressed by their bigs.
Well,
Hammonds is good, but Haas is not good.
Yeah, they didn't play a good game.
No.
I mean, Purdue played a subpar game, and I'm sure Little Rock had something to do with that. The way they defend could frustrate the Cyclones, unless they can get out and run. One thing the Cyclones have shown this year and in previous years is their offense is so good that good defenses can look awfully bad mm-hmm. against them. Now, but then they in turn have to defend, and that's that, you know, the Cyclones would have to. I think it's going to be a decent game, but I can't foresee the Cyclones losing to Little Rock.
Are you guys of the opinion that Iowa State would have been better off playing Purdue or Little Rock? Because I think you can make a case for both, I think.
I would say, dude, I've got to say they're better off playing Little Rock. They've got one guy that plays that's taller than 6'5".
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I think Jamil McKay could have a field day. That Shoshi kid's he's okay. He's a hustler.
He had a couple clutch shots for him.
Yeah.
That bounding three that.
But I don't think that he usually plays that way.
Well, will George be able to pin his guy down low quite a bit too? Because let's be honest, if George gets positioned down low, it's done. He's good scoring. Night. Well, he's scoring.
And the thing about that is there's – I mean, they were sending four guys at A.J. Hammonds.
Yeah.
You know, like,
you can't do that against Iowa State.
Right. And that's the point, is that if you pass it into George and you bring four different people, he's just going to pass it out. And all of a sudden, you've got four other guys on the floor that can score.
All shoot. Yeah.
And I do not think Little Rock's played a team like that. No. They didn't even have to guard one of the guys on Purdue's team. No. Literally, they just didn't guard him.
Yeah. I agree that that's
– J.C. Holloway-ing him.
Yeah. I think it is it is better to face – Little Rock does remind me a little bit of UAB last year, though. A pesky kind of team that, you know, if they get hot and get confidence, they've got something going. And they kind of punch above their weight. You know, they boarded the ball fairly well, it seemed like, in that game, at least in key moments, mm-hmm. even though they didn't have the type of size that you would expect. But I think that is the better matchup for Iowa State. It's not a team that's been there, done that. It's a team that if they get on a roll like they did in the 11-0 run early against Iona after going down 5-0 and a couple other runs, they come at them in waves. They're going to get that deer in the headlights look a little bit and go away from who they are, and you can really exploit that and run away with it.
I think Purdue needs to change their philosophy or else they're going to get left behind, to be completely honest.
So you look at them how we looked at Notre Dame, what, about 3 years ago, we played them in Dayton, right?
Yeah.
Big, slow, and then all of a sudden you saw Notre Dame. Now all of a sudden it's getting more athletic, bigs, tougher guard. You think Purdue will try to go that way?
I like A.J. Hammonds. I think he's going to be a good player in the NBA.
Yeah.
But that Haas kid, he can't even rebound. He's like 7'2".
He's a little bit of Woodbury in him, isn't he?
Yeah.
A little bit of Woodbury.
I mean, he's a better offensive player probably. And that's what – I mean, you hear him say on the TV and they're like, yeah, he only plays on offense. Well, what good big guy is there that only plays on offense?
Yeah.
And he's slow.
Kyle Wilcher.
Who would he have guarded for Iowa State? If McKay was out of the game, who would he have guarded?
No, I mean, he couldn't guard anyone. He couldn't be on the floor.
No.
Well, and that's why you saw Little Rock, even if they would have played Purdue, I would have felt really good about it because of the way Little Rock killed them with their small lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris is out in Denver right now, and he was talking to some people out there, not within Iowa State, but he told me that they thought Iowa State would have been better off playing Purdue because Purdue's bigs. There's no way they could have guarded Iowa State, and Iowa State players, you don't have to worry about them taking Purdue lightly because it is a Big Ten team. It's a bigger name.
I don't think they're going to take Little Rock lightly.
I don't either. I don't either.
Chris, I mean, Chris told me yesterday on the phone, he was like, this seems like a completely different team. Like, there's no joking. There's, like, all the stuff that, you know, they don't smile. Like, they're just – they're there to get the work done.
Except for Jameel McKay with his work routine.
The dance.
Oh, yeah.
That whole thing. But they're loose yet focused. They have that. And I think we could see that, too, at availability before they left, that there is a very – you know, this is where George Niang makes his mark as a leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a senior leader. And Naz as well. I think Naz is – helped this team more than probably people know, just in terms of keeping them on point, keeping them. I mean, I'd like to think I know he's tight with Abdel Nader. I had an interesting talk with him about Abdul, who was, I was really impressed with how well he played in that game and how, looking at the quotes from Chris and others, you know, he opened up a little bit more too and was, you know, talking.
He seems happy. A little bit.
Yeah.
He seems, I mean, last year, you guys were around him a lot.
Yeah.
He seemed more closed off.
Mm-hmm.
And when he did interviews, he didn't seem – I don't know if you ever even saw him smile, did you? I mean, he didn't seem like he was very – but now you talk to him, he just seems relaxed. Like, he's just at peace. He's just
– I think he was probably just hanging out with Bryce DeJean Jones too much.
Yeah, there's probably a lot
walking
to
on eggshells a little bit.
Yeah. I can't believe my guy, Scott Drew, got beat.
Pathetic.
You can't. I don't know. He overthinks his stuff, man. They should have just gone man-to-man on those guys and just put as much pressure as they possibly could and out-athleted him.
Yeah.
But he went into his stupid zone and let the – I mean, Yale just dissected it.
And
the one kid had a career high. What did he have, 31,
yeah,
32?
What's his name? Mekhi Mason?
Yeah.
Little stud. And
looks like he ought to be suiting up for Urbandale High School. Shout out to my old town.
They said he's like a New England prep star.
Yeah.
He was a
just kind of
kid.
That baby faced kind of, yeah. You know, you could just see him lighting somebody up for 28 points in the CIML. But he was good. I mean, Yale was good. I mean, they were well prepared for their first ever tournament win and what, first appearance since 62. But Baylor, like you said, I mean, why in the world don't you just match those guys up?
Right.
Who's Motley going to mangle? Who's Prince played a terrific game.
Yeah.
Even though Rico Gathers was not pleased.
Yeah. Rico was Rico's got his sights set to squarely on the Arena Football League. Right.
If you look at the teams though that got bounced earlier that were higher seeds, poor guard play. Baylor doesn't have very good guard play.
Yeah.
Purdue doesn't have very good guard
Medford,
play.
Medford, that last possession.
He scored 0 points, I think, yesterday. I don't think he scored a point the whole game. I'm pretty sure he had zero.
Okay. I thought he might have had one basket. But either way, I mean,
he was
that possession. Guys were slipping a lot in games.
Yeah, they were.
I was wondering about that too. It has to be because the courts are so new.
Yeah.
Like, literally no basketball has been played on any of those courts except for the practices.
Yeah. Because Medford slipped as he was trying that behind, you know, dribble behind the back move.
Yeah. Or we just need to hire more towel boys to get out there and hustle.
You know what? I was talking to Rob about this too before. It's about time that Iowa State got a little luck in this NCAA tournament. Mm. If you go back and look at the history, I mean, you go back to look at when we played Michigan State, we had to play them in Auburn Hills, right?
Yeah.
We've had to play national champions three of the last four times we've been bounced. I think we played a national championship team. George broke his foot. Chris Babb rolled his ankle. Plus, I think we could all agree we got a little bit of a hose job against Ohio State.
Yep.
So I am perfectly fine with us playing Arkansas Pine Bluff. I hope Virginia loses now, too.
Little Rock Pine Bluff would be a blessing. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah. Well,
they'd have a lot to feed off, too, because they only beat them by 14. Oh, my God. They'd actually blow a team out.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
I was looking at Little Rock's schedule yesterday. They played one other NCAA tournament team.
Texas Tech.
Okay, two, actually. So, Texas Tech and Tulsa.
Oh, yeah, Tulsa, too, yeah. They split with those two teams.
Yeah.
They beat Tulsa, and they lost to Texas Tech by two.
I saw a stat where they've beaten one, like, top whatever team in the last 5 or 6 years.
Well, then they're –
I can't remember what the metric was or the measure, but I'll just say it's equivalent to, like, beating a ranked team. Well, I think in like once in 5 years.
Really? They beat San Diego State early in the year. I wonder if that'd be
49-43.
Big offensive performance.
But I mean, I wrote in my thing that I wrote that I had this morning. I was like, they have one notable win, Purdue. Maybe San Diego State, if you want to consider an NIT team a notable win.
Yeah.
That's it. And that was the first game of the year. I don't know. I just know it's the first game of the season.
You know where I really think the mismatches come for games like this too is it's an Abdel Nader, mm-hmm. where they don't see a lot of these 6'7" guys with 7 foot wingspans that can shoot the ball outside the three and take it into the lane. They might see 6'7" guys, but these guys that are seen are 6'7" are probably their power forwards, very limited offensively. That's where I think Deontay Burton, if he could just kind of calm down, he was playing a little too fast yesterday. Just calm down a little bit. He could be a big mismatch for him too, because you don't see guys like him at Arkansas, Little Rock very often. So mm-hmm. I think those. Because George is going to get his.
Yeah.
Monte's going to play well. But they kind of see guys maybe like Monte, point guards that are that size. They don't see a lot of Naders.
I didn't even ask you how you're feeling today after your
after I got snipped?
Yeah, after your procedure.
I look good, don't I?
I don't know. You don't look any different.
No, I feel good. I feel –
do you feel less aggressive?
You keep asking me this. You act like I'm a dog. Like I've been humping your leg for years or something.
They don't make him a eunuch.
No.
You know, it just stops the makes procreation virtually impossible.
Yeah. No, the people at our good friends at Iowa Clinic did a good job. They took care of me, and it was a breeze, man. I expected it to be a lot worse the last couple of days. It's been easy.
So they didn't get your artery then.
No, they did not get no.
That's how
that was not. I found out that was not someone from the Iowa Clinic that did that. So,
I would hope so.
Our good, the Iowa Clinic, they know how to do it right. So when I was in there though, getting ready to go in, I saw about four or five Iowa State fans sitting waiting for the same procedure. So I think they had the same thought process in mind.
Did you do any fist bumps?
No, we just looked at each other, and both of us had a tear run down our eye. And, you know. We knew. We didn't. No words needed to be spoken.
Yeah,
they have TV commercials now. Well, that's all.
The urology department.
Yeah, to get a vasectomy during the tournament. I think they said a vasectomy. A vasectomy. I don't know. Not how we would usually.
The way Steve Lapis might say it that way.
I hope Steve. It's gonna be Steve Lapis on Saturday again, isn't it?
That's fine. We won the first game with them.
Yeah. Roll with Lapis. Yeah.
I want Grant Hill and Bill Raftery.
No. I love Raftery.
How bad is
Grant is really good, too. I wanted to get a selfie with him at the open practice the other day, but Grant didn't walk past me. I would have gotten one, though. He smiles every time he's on TV. Every time.
Nothing wrong with that.
I don't know. He smiles too much. He's too excited to be everywhere he's at.
You can't trust a guy that smiles that much, huh?
No.
Pretty good basketball player, though.
Yeah, he was great. If he could have stayed healthy.
Yeah, if he would have stayed healthy.
Yeah.
All-timer.
That was a little before your time.
I was alive when Grant Hill played.
Well, I didn't say you were alive.
Well, if he wouldn't have signed the contract with the crappy shoe company, should have just signed with Nike when he left Duke, then he wouldn't have got the crappy shoes, and then his ankles would have been good.
Is this like your conspiracy theory?
No, I'm dead serious. This is a thing. Serious. That's a thing. You go look it up. Grant Hill's first shoe contract.
You've also told me that Tom Izzo keeping Valentine out is a thing, too.
He did, and now they're going to win the championship all because of it.
How are they supposed to win the championship when they can't get past Iowa State?
Okay.
Think about this for a second.
Or Gonzaga.
I don't know how they could – Gonzaga can't beat Michigan State because Kyle Wiltshire can't guard anyone.
Exactly.
Like, literally.
Has he gotten slower?
Dude, he's like a revolving door. I think I literally think a cardboard cutout would play better defense.
Yeah. Over-under on Costello rebounds against Gonzaga. I'm going to set it at –
18.
I'm going to set it at 16. Okay,
no, Sabonis, though. Sabonis goes and gets those boards.
He'll be the only one.
Who's that other? They have that backup big that's a load, too.
I don't know his name, though. They have, three guys that are 7-footer tall.
Yeah. No, you're right. They don't and their guard play, once again, is not very good.
Yeah, without Kevin Pangos.
Yeah, they don't have very good guards.
I can't believe people had them as a top 5 team or whatever at the start of the year.
Seduced by Kyle Wiltshire's offensive game.
Yeah, Wiltshire and Sabonis. I remember I was talking to you that day. We were down in Lawrence. I said, it doesn't seem like Kyle Wiltshire's done anything this year. I looked it up. He's averaging 25.
No way. Was he really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He's still an elite scorer. He just doesn't.
Yeah. He's not an incomplete defend.
Player.
Yeah.
That's probably why he's not very high in draft boards, because I was looking at him. He's 6'11 or so. He can shoot the ball. why would that guy not be a pro where you can just put it in the corner, play him 15 minutes a game, have him at three threes?
If he's such a defensive liability that whoever is his guy is going to go off.
Yeah.
I mean, at that level, whoever he'd face would go off.
Speaking of defensive liability.
He'd make a ton of money in Europe. Wiltshire is a prototypical European
player. Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, he would. Defensive liability. Why do we keep switching when, like, A.J. English has the ball? They come and set a screen with George's guy, and all of a sudden George has to guard A.J. English.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We have to figure out a way to do something different on that, don't we?
I don't know. I mean, he was
English abused Niang there at the end of that game. Yeah. Abused him. And you know what? That's fine because it's hard for to expect him to guard him. Just don't switch or do something different. But we kept switching over and over. Why?
How much did McKay's foul trouble affect that a little bit too? I mean, because you can still rely on him as the rim protector. Yeah. You know, if a guy gets past you, but when he's playing with four fouls as he was for quite a while
That's a good point.
Former Indian Hills comrade.
AJ English is a guy that I think benefits from playing against not very good athletes. I'll be honest.
Me and you agree.
Yeah.
He's a good player. He's not a big athlete.
Right.
He's not
And a lot of the moves that you'll see him make where he does his size-up dribbles and he goes in between the legs, guys like Iowa State guys in the Big 12 aren't going to fall for that. But you'll see the guys in, you know, like for Monmouth or other teams in the MAAC, they're going to – that gets you, like, up back on your heels, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas Monte's just going to look at you like, come on, dude, try and make your move.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't think he's a pro.
I think he might be an end of the bench. He'll make a team and he'll go through probably –
You think he'll stick?
I don't know if he'll stick, but I think he'll go through summer league at least for sure.
What were his final stats in that game?
I don't know.
What did he have, 28?
He had 20-something. And they were quiet because I didn't really notice him score until the end of that game when they were trying to make the little run. Before that, I felt like Matt and Monte did a pretty good job on him.
Well, and they only made, like, they were like 3 of 19 from 3 to start or something like that. Those guys,
who's that one guy? Why am I – Munch?
Oh, Munch?
That guy is just –
Deshante Munch?
That guy is just a – baller.
His shot is so gross, horrendous form. Yeah.
But it goes in some of the time, and you watch him just jump and leap and move, and you're like, wow, this is a guy that if you met him on the playground, or if you
I would really hate him because his shot kept going in.
And he'd abuse you. But that's what he's got. That's who he is.
It's so ugly.
AJ English had 28 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals.
How many field goal attempts?
Yeah.
19. He's 10 for 19, so not bad. He was only 2 for 8 on threes, so he didn't shoot the ball that well, and he had 7 turnovers.
Iowa State's 3-point field goal percentage defense.
On
point. It was on point.
I actually thought they
Kirk Holland will be especially pleased.
They actually did. I thought they played pretty good on the defense, or on the 3-point. I agree. You're being sarcastic
to some degree. I mean, look, they closed out okay, but let's face it. Some of those games where teams went off on them, they were closing out just as well.
I thought Kirk was the one that says it's all luck.
That's what I mean. That's why I'm sort of...
It's the most absurd take ever, and I hope Kirk is listening to this. There's a reason the same teams play that have the best three-point shooting defense year after year after year.
It's not all luck, but there is a larger degree of luck than there is to – I would agree with that.
When Oklahoma gets the ball 2 seconds on the shot clock and they shoot it from like half court and they make it, sure, there's luck on that. But when Iowa State's got like a 5-game stretch where teams are hitting 12 threes in a row, generally it's because of poor defense. Mm. Yeah. Speaking of three-point shoot, Iowa State starters yesterday were 10 for 20 on threes. That's pretty solid.
Yeah, everybody shot it well. Abdel Nader shooting it that well is, again, we keep coming back to him, is such a huge aspect because we've seen him go in funks there from the three-point line, and he was so smooth and so confident putting it up. You know, depth. Who's talking about depth now? Although, I mean, off the bench, Burton struggled, and I still don't understand how Prohm decides whether it's going to be Cook or Ashton at particular times, but man, that starting five is absolute dynamite. And you can go a long ways with that. It's as good as anybody's.
Yeah, it is.
Ashton might get the Purdue treatment where he doesn't get guarded by Little Rock if he goes out there.
Well, after that layup attempt he had.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was not good.
I could have blocked that shot.
Let's not go that far.
Jared would have sent it about 15 feet.
He didn't even – the attempt was about as weak of an attempt.
I think he thought that Deontay was going to dunk it to dunk it.
But then when he passed it, it was like he wanted nothing to do with that ball.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like he almost wanted a hot potato right back to him.
Well, Deontay should have dunked that guy.
And in fairness to him, I mean, talk about a big stage, his first NCAA tournament game.
Yeah.
And he's been a guy that's done everything that's been asked of him, you know, and all that. But Yeah, he was like kind of running around looking busy.
Yeah.
The whole game when he was on the floor, you know, probably a little bit kind of bedazzled by the whole thing, the whole experience.
Bedazzled. I don't think that's the – you know what bedazzling is, right?
Yes, Mr. Invoke.
Bedazzling.
Bedazzled. He was
– his rhinestone jersey, the bedazzled.
Jeez, tough crowd, huh? His birthday. Go easy on him.
Believe it or not, you can be bedazzled.
I had to bedazzled by things. For someone calling me out.
It's not it's not necessarily just the ornament. You can be dazzled or.
I thought you just were bedazzling things.
Let's get into intransigent.
This has been a great conversation.
Who's your guys' upset special
for today?
Friday? Yeah.
Oh geez, upset
I don't even
special.
Know if I have one.
I had.
Oh, you and I.
You like you and I tonight?
Yeah.
Man, I did pick Arkansas Little Rock yesterday. I felt good about that one. You know, I'll go with Stephen F. Austin.
Okay.
I'm not a big believer in West Virginia. To me, I always say this. It depends how the refs call the game for West Virginia.
Yeah.
If they call it tight, West Virginia's on a – and they can't get turnovers that lead to points, and they have to play in a half-court setting, I don't think their offense is that good in a half-court setting, and I think it leads to maybe being an upset. But that's really the only one I love. I'll take South Dakota State against Maryland. Would not surprise me one bit.
Keep an eye on Green Bay.
Oh, really?
Green Bay, Texas A&M.
That could be an interesting game. My upset
teams
specials,
that play very different.
My upset specials yesterday blew up in my face. I thought Chattanooga might knock off Indiana, and for about 17 minutes it looked like they might, and then they lose by 25. And I had UNC Wilmington over Duke, and they actually hung in there even when Duke stretched it out to barely double digits. They cut it back to five.
They were good. I watched a lot of that game. UNC Wilmington was a good team.
Yeah.
They did a good job.
There's been a Plumlee on Duke for 8 years.
This Plumlee is by far the least talented, but man, he works his butt. He's like Costello for Michigan State. He just does the dirty work for him.
I will say that I know Hawaii is kind of a trendy pick to beat Cal. I don't really see that. I wouldn't be surprised to see Cal State Bakersfield.
Oklahoma?
Not beat.
Okay, I was gonna
not
say.
Beat, but give them a really good game.
Something's missing with that Oklahoma team lately, in my opinion. There's just something that's not quite right with that team.
Even when against Iowa State, when they got a big 14, 15 points, you know, Iowa State gets back in on them. I'm not sure where they're at in terms of their trust in each other.
Yeah.
The Sooners.
All right, give your prediction for tomorrow now, too.
I like Iowa State by 8, and I was right on. I called 13 in the fall cast. They won by 13.
I thought you said, like, 15.
No, I said 13.
Okay. What do you say?
I like Iowa State by 8.
I like Iowa State by – I think I picked them by about a dozen when we were on the seniors. Mm-hmm. So I was close. I was almost –
I think you said about a dozen, literally about a dozen.
Yeah. I like them by about – I like them the same, you know, double digits, low double digits against Little Rock.
Yeah, I'm going to say 15.
It is scary just from the standpoint of when Iowa State has struggled against certain teams, it's teams that like to slow it down. But this Iowa State team does seem to be able to score the ball in a half-court setting better than – you know, Fred's teams, it always seemed like they wanted to push it. And if it got half court, they kind of struggled. Mm-hmm. This team, just because you can do the pick and roll and with ISO, and Monte's become so much better at hitting that pull-up jump shot that they can still beat teams doing it that way.
Yep.
Definitely. Let's watch some basketball.
You ready for that?
Yeah.
I want to plug something real quick for the people listening. Once Iowa State wins tomorrow, there will be a Cyclone Fanatic trip out to Chicago. I got buses lined up. I got hotels lined up. I got tickets, which are always the hardest thing about going to the NCAA tournament is trying to find tickets. We partner with someone that's with the NCAA that will be able to get us tickets. So make sure to be checking out
the
website.
You've got seats for the senior writer and the intern, right?
We could probably work something out.
Hey, that's what's up.
Probably work something out.
Outstanding.
So and the hotel that we're looking to stay at, too, is brand new. It used to be an athletic facility. So there's a full court basketball court in it. There's shuffleboard. There's a game room in it.
You guys can play.
I was going to say, we can find – well.
And it's right on Michigan
probably
Avenue.
I can already tell there will be some beverages consumed, and then Adam's going to start getting mouthy, and I'm going to have to take him to the court and dunk on him real quick.
Hopefully by then my nuts feel better. If I lose, it's because of my nuts. That's what it is.
You've got a good excuse to roll with the nut cup shotgun for quite a while now.
All right. On that note, thanks for listening, dudes.